Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries.
And took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way. Welcome to Glorious Day. We're here today to bring the Word of God to people out there who are hungry and thirsty for their spiritual life to be filled with God's Word. I'm Pastor Barry.
Hey, and I believe what he just said. I'm Pastor David, and welcome to Glorious Day. So we...
And happy Independence Day.
Happy Independence Day. Yes, we're airing on July the 4th. And guess what? Our topic for tonight is on freedom.
Freedom.
And Brother Barry is going to start with reading from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians.
Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom.
Wow. That's such an essential, fundamental truth,
Barry. Amen.
We wanted to build on this scripture for most of the program, and then we'll close with another one that is linked to that, but... Today is Independence Day. We're celebrating, I hope, most of you, if not all of you, are celebrating our freedom, independence from Britain back in the late 18th century when this American Revolution you probably heard of and hopefully have read in your American history books occurred, and this nation, against all odds, really, won against the very powerful British. And we became at that time the beginnings of a nation, 13 colonies that over the next 200 and plus years, you know, I don't do math real well, Barry.
I got a calculator in my phone. I could figure that out.
Right. 270 some years, let's say. We've filled the land between the seas and have a couple other places that are connected to us, and we have 340 million people. But then some things don't change, do they?
No, they don't.
And this is why we're talking about Independence Day in light of the Word of God. And Barry, you had some great thoughts that as we were discussing what we were going to do before the program, I'd just love for you to share some of those with our listeners.
Well, I think about defining our terms. We really need to do that. And we think about the founders of America when they came here. They were escaping religious oppression. David and I were just talking about that. They were escaping oppression where they could not worship in a fashion that they felt was their right and that they needed to do. They were being forced to worship in someone else's template.
Yes.
And it didn't align itself with the way they interpreted the gospel. So in other words, they just wanted to come to another country, to a new life, and have the freedom to share Christ.
Amen.
Not necessarily the freedom to share their religion, and not to oppress anybody, but just to bring Christ to a new world.
Exactly. And it was, by the way, they weren't interested in just establishing a nation where only their particular religious and spiritual foundations would be celebrated and worshiped, nothing else. They were willing to understand that other people may come and that they needed to have their religious freedom available to them as well. And that's in the heart of what this nation is, and it's also in the heart of our Constitution, which we'll touch on a little bit later.
And David, it's all still there.
Yes.
It's
yes.
Still there. It hasn't changed.
Nope. No. All of this stuff is at the heart of who we are as Americans, and it hasn't changed, even though there are some people today that want us to think it has and also want us to think they have the power to make those changes.
Right.
But, of course, they're not God, and they haven't listened to God, and if they did, they would undoubtedly have a very different position. But this is why we want to share with you during this broadcast. The heart of American freedom is the heart of the freedom of the people of God. And so the first thing I want to mention is that the earliest American settlers made a covenant with God. Did you know that, folks? Barry, you knew that.
I knew that, but then again, I did some little extra reading after school.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's always a good thing because I never did that. I'm really impressed that you did that after school.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm a voracious reader. When I could read, in my youth, I had a problem reading because I had dyslexia. But once I got over that, I took a Tylenol and it went away. By the way,
wow!
But
well, we're not product placement here.
when I was able to finally read, I was hungry for truth.
Yes.
Even as a teenager, you might wonder, wait, he wanted truth? Yeah, I wanted truth. I wanted to see what God wanted us to know.
Yes.
Not what mankind. And so I plopped myself down and read the Bible.
Wow.
And my eyes were open.
As anyone's would be.
Yeah.
You know, with the truth of God and his word. It's very powerful.
Yeah, and David, you have a word here, very powerful word. When you said America's earliest settlers made a covenant with God, that word covenant just keeps resounding in my mind and my heart. It's a powerful word. It's a promise.
Yes.
It's a contract.
It's a contract, yeah.
With God.
With God, yeah.
Unbreakable.
Yeah, amen. I mean, it's amazing to think you make a contract with God, but God makes contracts with his people all the time. The Old Testament is full of those covenants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the covenant God made with Moses. Well, before that was the Noahic covenant, that after the waters of the earth receded, Noah and his family left the ark. And God promised never to do that again. And the sign of the covenant was a rainbow in the sky. And God, by the way, is not happy that some people have hijacked his rainbow. So understand that. but God made a covenant with Moses and the people Israel in the desert journey before they took the promised land. And there's several other covenants. If you look in there, you can see God made with his people. And it's a kind of a contract. God brings most of the stuff to the relationship, though. Let's understand that from the beginning. God.
Well, it's all his stuff anyway.
It's all his stuff. That's right. He made all of it. So what he does expect us to do is keep our part of the covenant. Of course, Amen. God is a loving God, and he will, when we repent, because we say, oh, well, Lord, I messed that one up. I didn't keep that part of the covenant. God will forgive us. He promised to do that if we repent. But we need to understand the covenant that was made with God when this country was founded. And we go back, for instance, to the founding of Jamestown in 1607, and they created a covenant they call the Virginia Compact, which, by the way, is not a kind of car. It's not the size, it's not the small car that somebody makes, but it is, in fact, a compact is another word for a covenant. And Christian historian Eddie Hyatt, author of a book, The Great Prayer Awakening of 1857 and 58, said that those who came to Jamestown starting in 1607, he wrote this, and I quote, "To propagate, to expand the gospel, the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to take the gospel to people who were lying in darkness and had no knowledge of the one true God." And they said that was the reason they had come. And Mr. Hyatt, the author of the book, states that. That was the reason that they came. And
David, I look at that, and it seems like something that all of us should cut out on paper and tape it to the inside of our front door every time we leave our home. Because that's what we're supposed to be doing.
Exactly.
That's why we're here.
Exactly.
Not just that meaning, those meaning us two pastors sitting in this room, but everybody who professes to be a Christian.
Absolutely.
That's why they're here.
That's the work of the church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything else is nice if you do this first. If you get this out of the way, if you establish this and live out this mission and ministry that God has given his people to expand the gospel, to bring Jesus Christ to the hurting, the lost, those that are wandering in darkness, to bring Christ directly to them, because you're bringing the Christ in you to them out
Amen.
In the world.
That's right.
And that's what we're all here for, really. That's what all the churches are supposed to be doing in preparing their people for ministry.
Well, going back to the word covenant too, David, I think about this, the fact that we make covenants all day long. Well, with your job, you sign a contract. I'm going to stay here. Oh, and you raise your right hand. I'm going to stay here until I retire. And then 2 months later, you get a better job offer and you break your covenant. Yeah. And need we even go into the covenant in marriage? You know, and God is always faithful. Mankind will always disappoint.
Yes.
We break covenants all the time. But this is important because these people left their homeland, traveled across an ocean, and were willing to make this covenant right here.
Amen.
And they stuck with it.
They did not break it. They did not.
Mm-hmm.
And succeeding generations of Americans, and there's a ton of generations, if you have 270 some years or 240 years. Honestly, folks, forgive me, but my math is horrible. The point that I'm trying to make, I'm still astounded at that I'm not doing math very well. There's got to be a prayer that you could ask the Lord. Lord, give me a brain for math, you know?
Well,
help me to do just even simple stuff.
We can do that right now if you want, David.
Well, that's all right. No,
Lord,
I don't
help
take
David's brain.
Yeah, okay. Really, yes, please. Anyway, the other thing, moving along in the early history of America, mm-hmm. that in 1631, John Winthrop, who was leading 700 Puritans to Massachusetts, articulated the reason that they were coming to this country. And I'm going to quote from him. He says, "Others may come to the New World for wealth and furs." He said, "We have another goal, another end. We have entered into an explicit covenant with God to be his people in this new world." And they wanted to be that city on a hill.
Mm.
They wanted to be a model. And it's just amazing to, for me, and I know we've talked about this, Barry, to really focus on the early days of this nation and to look at the documents that were written that are part of the foundation of our nation, the Constitution and the amendments to it and the mm-hmm. Bill of Rights. And the Declaration of Independence, that document, which is so critical, that to the statements that were made by those founding fathers, that they all agreed that the content of that document was critical for the present and the future of this nation, and that God was in it, that this document would never have been created if God was not in it.
Having read those documents as a young man, I always believed that our founding fathers were brilliant, and I was so wrong, because if this is truly written with God, God is brilliant, not man. They were listening,
Amen.
David. They were listening to him.
Yes.
And just to pull the veil back a little bit, when David and I, before we preach and before we come in the air, we pray that God increases while we decrease. You know, we may think we're a little clever here and there, but we're not God.
No.
And when you read that, I always was impressed by the fact that these gentlemen were not afraid to put the name of God on paper.
Amen.
Now, we live in a litigious society where some people may feel offended when they see the word God. These men were not afraid of that. They were fearless because they were tuned in and they were in a covenant.
Amen.
An unbreakable covenant with God.
And today, and listen, friends, listen in very closely to this, that God has never canceled the covenant that has been made with the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
Never. And even though it seems that today there are many of our leaders that are ignoring it, that covenant is still very much alive. And the other thing you need to know, which is connected to this, is that God intends, and God is even moving now through this country. He's moving through this nation. His Holy Spirit is moving in such a way to bring about revival as people hear the call to repentance and are faithful to that, repenting both for our own sins, but also the sins of this nation, of which they are egregious, and they have grieved God. I won't mention all of them, but because we don't have time.
No, we don't.
But the big issue is, you know, a nation that has made laws allowing to us to kill our babies because somebody doesn't want to carry them, or to allow confusion to reign in the midst of our nation over simple things like gender, and where the Bible says he created them male and female, there are people that reject that truth.
Mm-hmm.
And to reject the truth of God is to wander off into sinful places, friends. It's very clear. It's in the Word of God. And there are several other things. Many of our listeners have probably got a much longer list than even you and I do, Barry. But the point is that God is moving. Now, please listen to this. God is moving today, has been moving for quite some time, and will be moving for quite many days down the road to bring this nation back into a faithful relationship with him, to again honor the covenant that's been made with him, because God has picked, God has selected America to be a nation that will not only live the gospel tenets and proclaim the gospel within its own borders,
mm-hmm.
but will have such zeal and Holy Spirit power that the gospel will cascade over our borders and again move throughout the world. This is God's intention when 400 years ago, John Winthrop
mm-hmm.
and what was the handful of colonists that survived illness and
brutal winter.
Yeah. Oh. And everything else, 50-some who gathered in his house and made this covenant with God, and God honored that. For you to know that God is still in charge, his plan is still viable, and he is working it out today. What you need to know is if you're not on board with God, please get on board with God. Barry.
You know, this has all happened before. We look at the Old Testament, we look at God's chosen people, and over and over and over again, they turn their back on the covenant. And every time they were allowed to be conquered, and they were dispersed, and they lost their land, and they lost their identity.
Yes, they did.
And then God would find a way to bring them back. He's faithful. But these wayward children, and this doesn't apply only to the Old Testament, it applies to us today, as David was just speaking about this. I always thought, David, that if King David magically went into a time machine, or if God just transported him to the time of Christ, and he was standing in downtown Jerusalem and looked around, the first thing he would think was, they did it again. They're conquered. They yeah. turned their back on the Lord again. And he probably wouldn't even be that surprised, because we can learn from history that this yeah. is not anything new. And America, it's time to wake up. It's time to honor this covenant, this promise, and it's time to repent.
It's time to repent. And I believe, and a study of Scripture I think will support this, that our willingness to repent as a nation is going to bring us back into that close personal relationship with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That we need as Christians. He wants us to have that. We've talked about intimacy before. I won't belabor that point. But to say how important it is, how fundamental it is, how crucial this reality is. John, the Gospel of John, 8th chapter, verses 31 and 32. I'll read this to you, and I would encourage you to look this up on yourselves. It says, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, he meant exactly what he said.
Mm-hmm.
And if anyone is starting to think, wow, that's just a metaphor. You know, that's like a symbol, or he's trying to paint a picture that doesn't really mean that. Folks, sorry, my paw came out again.
Yeah, there
listen,
we go.
Listen to me. I'm absolutely serious. Is that our true freedom is only in Christ.
That's the only way, David.
That's the only way.
The only way to be victorious in all this for those of you who want to be victorious, is in surrender.
Amen.
In submission. When you submit and you surrender to Christ, that relationship, and well, I'm going to use your word too, David, is intimate. And
yeah.
You will be set free. Set free from bad decisions. Set free from regrets. Set free from holding on to old guilt.
Yes.
Or new guilt, whatever you got. I got to tell you, there are people in my work life as a chaplain that have come to me with bearing their sins from 45 years ago. They are not free. They're in bondage to that sin. And when they finally surrender that and offload that and submit to Christ, they're free.
Amen.
And as a blessing to me, I'm sure you've seen it too, David, is you see this revitalized human being,
yes.
This person who has joy and peace and hope in their heart again. And above all, they're free.
Exactly.
Amen.
And if you, I hope that you know the freedom that Christ gives you. I hope that you've come to Christ, listeners, today, and maybe you've had him in your heart for 5 or 6 decades. Maybe you've had him in your heart for 5 or 6 minutes. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've got Jesus, you know you have the fullness of life in him. You have every freedom that you could ever have. And I will tell you that if you ever read stories of Christians who were in communist prisons during the Cold War, for whatever reason that they were in those prisons, the one takeaway from all their stories is this. Yes, I was imprisoned by the communists, and it was a hard and difficult place to be. But I had Jesus. And what they didn't understand is that I had a free and unfettered life.
Amen.
In Christ.
Mm.
All they saw were the concrete walls and the armed guards. They had no clue. And so it's God's essential freedom that now we see as we read the Constitution,
mm-hmm.
as we look at what this nation still provides in terms of freedoms that we don't want to lose.
No.
That those come out of the one God's intention for his people, because he loves us so much.
He didn't create us as an authentic creation to live our life in bondage.
No.
Live our life in bondage to sin, bondage to our own guilt, bondage to whatever choices that we've made in our lives that were not godly.
Amen.
That's not where we're meant to be. You know, I think of the homeless man I met who had been very successful and lost everything in his life and was living under a tree. I met him. He was living under a tree in a homeless camp, and he was smiling while the rest of the homeless folks were crying and sad. And I said, "How could you be smiling?" And he said, I can finally love Jesus Christ without any stuff between him and I. I found Christ under this tree in the woods.
Wow.
I lost my home, lost my money, lost my family, and here I am. I could give up, but I discovered something. I found Jesus. That's all I need.
You know, earlier, before we started the program, and we were having dinner together.
Yes.
And, of course, we're always talking about Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we got onto the point about the rich young ruler.
Yes.
And everybody that reads that story of the young, wealthy man who came to Jesus and said, you know, I've done everything I can for righteousness, and I still feel empty.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said, go sell all that you have and come follow me. Or give it to the poor and come follow me. And you always wonder, well, what did that guy ever do, you know?
I need to know the rest of the story, David.
The rest of the story you just told us is here's this guy who had everything.
Right.
Now, he didn't give it away because he wanted to know Jesus, but the point is that he is like the rich young ruler.
Yes, he is.
In that he didn't give it away, he lost it. But what did he find? Jesus.
Found Christ.
And Jesus mm-hmm. was saying to that man, hey, here I am. I'm the answer to all your prayers. You know, and both men, the rich young ruler, and 2,000 years later, this homeless guy under a tree,
mm-hmm.
there's how the answer is given.
That's right.
He was greatly happy, and he had nothing, but he had everything.
He lost it all and gained everything.
Amen. Because he had Jesus.
Amen.
Brother, we're getting close to the end, but I want to say one thing to you folks. Barry earlier said something about how we put this program together. And I just want you to know, obviously, it's not really scripted. We have outlines we like to follow, but often we don't. And we make mistakes.
Do we?
You know, if you're a you know, one of those people in Toastmasters, you hear a lot of ums and uhs. And my wife who did Toastmasters says, well, it's because you're searching for words. And it's true, because we really want the Spirit to guide us. And so if you're listening to this and saying, what's going on with those guys? Well, what's going on is we really hope that in the midst of our really humble offering to you, us really humble offering to you, that God will enable you to hear something that you need to hear. And that's our job.
Just consider the ums and the ahs as David and Barry, but all the other words that make sense, that's all God.
Amen. Right, Barry. Well, and sadly, our time is up. It just went zip.
Yeah,
it did. It's gone. But Barry, I'd love for you to have a prayer to close this out with about our freedoms and praying for our nation. Would you do that?
It would be an honor. Holy Father, we come together, not just David and I, but all of you out there listening today. And we're so grateful and thankful for those who have given their lives over the years to maintain this freedom that we live in. Amen. But we just thank you, Lord, for this covenant. We thank you for the fact that these people that went on that perilous journey across the Atlantic Ocean, but they had their eyes on you, were kept safe. They continued to look for you in their travel. And Holy Father, you are always so faithful. This is one beautiful country. Physically, it's beautiful. Spiritually, it's beautiful. And it will continue to be beautiful, because you, Lord, are a beautiful God. And you're a God who always, always keeps his promises. Let us all surrender and be victorious. And let us never forget where our freedom comes from. God bless you all.
Amen. And we'll talk to you next week.
Real soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word,
that we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified,
and receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move
and his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.